I've enjoyed the day and enjoyed myself, and hopefully you have too. Hopefully it's been a help to you, help you go forward throughout the rest of the week, give you some things to think on, help you to walk closer to the Lord. I've been struggling tonight on what to even do. So many thoughts on my mind, and just the way the service seems to be going tonight, I just read just a passage of Scripture, make a few comments, and see what the Lord has for us. Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. In Psalm chapter 8, beginning in verse 3, says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and with honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." For just a moment tonight, a quick thought that's on my mind has to do, and you'll find it in verse 4. It's, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" We're living in a generation of people who think that they're more than what they are. They think they deserve more than what they ought to have. They believe, especially this generation coming on, that they deserve to have what grandma and grandpa worked their lives for. They believe they need it now. And that you ought to give it to them, and they ought not have to work for it. And so my thought for the evening is, who are you? Who are you? You need to think about these things. The Puritans and the old writers said it this way: the cure for pride is to remember that Adam is your daddy. Dirt was your granddaddy. And nothing was your great-granddaddy. And that sums up human life. So who are you that God would think on? That when you walk out of this building tonight and you look up into the stars and you see what God has done. It says in, I believe, Psalm 19, that the firmament showeth his handiwork, and the heavens declares glory, and the stars are the works of his fingers. And that word for works, it means the smallest motion. You know how all those stars got up there? God had them in his hand and just went. And there they were. And so you look up there and you see what God can do with practically nothing just by speaking it. And who are you that God would take thought of? What is man that thou art mindful of? He does not just that he knows about you, but he thinks on you. But he loves you. And he's ordained all things for your benefit. You realize that he spoke this world into existence by the word of his power. And that word was made manifest. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren for your sake. The one who said, "Let there be," became an infant, so that you may understand that he knows you and loves you and accepts you. He can take care of your issues. He loves you with an everlasting love. The same God who made it all is mindful of you tonight. Boy, it's a wonder of wonders to me that God's mindful of me. Says, what is man? This word for man is different than Adam. It's the word that means weak and frail. How weak are you? I'll tell you, I'm weak as pond water. I'm weak. There are days where I think I'm more than what I am. And then the next day I feel it. And I'm less than what I thought the day before. It's weak and frail. As weak as you are when you were without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What is man, the weak one, that thou art mindful of, and the son of man? Now this word for man is Adam, that great rebel. Who is the son of man that God would visit, not in wrath, but in mercy? You think about that tonight. and the Son of Man that thou visitest him. He comes by, he passes by. So throughout the scripture, you'll find when it says, what is man? There's a lot that the scripture says man is. Man is so full of pride, though he don't want to admit the truth. But if you would come to terms with who you are and that you are who you are and you can't change you and you need the grace of God to make you more than what you are, until you get to that reality, you're going to go on thinking you're something when you're actually nothing. I want you to remember that the scripture says that man is as grass. It's like the fresh mown grass. It's here one minute, cut down the next. James said your life is but a vapor. This time of year, you can go outside and blow a little smoke in the air and it goes away quick. Yes, and whether you realize it or not, you're going to sleep a time or two and you're going to be old.
That's right.
I once had hair and now I don't. My wife told me just today when I grow my beard and it gets all white in here, she said, you look young when you don't have a beard. And that might be why I don't have one. But she said, but when you have a beard, it shows all those crow's feet.
Yes, sir.
You know what happened? I've lived. And life has taken its toll. That's just the truth. When I was young and playing baseball, I thought I had it all. And then life happens. And you get married and kids come along. And then you watch people, and you watch your great nephew grow up. And you think, where have I been? And some of you that's young, you don't understand this yet, but you live long enough and the Lord tarries, you will.
Yes, sir, you will.
You'll realize the older you get, the less you are.
Yes, sir.
And it makes me wonder that God's ever mindful of me. It makes me wonder that my life is but a vapor, and yet God holds my breath in his hand. Boy, that's a wonder to me. Bible says that man's a piece of clay. You came from the dust, you're going to return to it. So you can paint up however you want to or dress it however you want to. It's going back to dirt. Except the Lord tarries. David said it this way in Psalm 62. He said, man is a lie. He came forth from the womb speaking lies. Man's whole life is a lie, and the greatest is what he tells himself. He hates to look into the mirror. He hates to look into the perfect law of liberty. He wants to leave and forget what manner of man he was. But by grace, if you can stand there and take it, you can be who God wants you to be in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, his life is to be my life. And my life wrapped up in his. My life is worthless. But his, I'd rather have his. Man is a worm, the Bible says. You know what we do with worms? We don't pay any mind to them. We just walk over the ground. If we step on them, they just should have got out of the way. But man's like that. And yet the Lord says he's mindful of them. The Bible says that man is vanity. It also says that man is sick and sore diseased from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. You see, the problem we have is in our blood, and we can't stop that and we can't change it. We got a sin problem. Even if you've been saved by the grace of God, that body you have is sin-stricken. It's going to break down. It's just the way it is. That's the reason why we're going to need a new body, because we're falling apart. Do you realize, as much as you think you got your life together, as much as you may think that, do you realize that as you're sitting there, the forensic people tell how great a rate you're falling apart. And if you was to get up at the end of a 1 hour service, the forensic team could come in and sweep that pew where you're sitting, and they can find your DNA. You're falling apart while you're sitting here. You can't even hold your body together. You know who holds all things in his hand? And he's mindful of you. Say, well, I don't think I'm falling apart. You are. And if he was to let it go, it would all crumble down in a matter of moments. It says in Colossians 1, that he upholds all things by the word of his power, and that by him all things consist. And that word consist means the glue. He's the glue that's holding it all together. The reason the sun came up this morning, the reason you got new mercy, the reason the sun is, or the moon's coming up tonight, and the reason that all that is because he made a covenant with himself. And he's a faithful God. Peter said he's a faithful creator. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. He's got it in his hand. The reason all that is because he's the glue holding it together. And oh me, how much we think we hold together. And then you get your eyes off of you at the one who's got it all in control. The Bible tells us that we're wicked sinners, we're rebels. It tells us that we're enemies of God by birth. And yet the Lord says, yet I will love thee. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. And if you was to go back in eternity past, if you could go back beyond let there be light, you would find that there was a lamb as it had been slain before the foundation of the world. This is not an afterthought. God has made all things after the counsel of his own will. He does what he wants to, when he wants to, as he sees fit, and none can stay his hand. He does what he wants to, and he's ordained it that way. He put you here for such a time as this that you may know him and walk with him and enjoy him all the days of your life. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter what land you were born in. All that matters is God said, and it was. And God has put you where you have, and he's ordained these things. Now, I'm not trying to get too personal, but I just tell you that it's a wonder to me that God's mindful of me. What are the odds that I would be born in the lifetime that I was and cross the paths of the people that I crossed and be born into the family that I was born into and marry who I did and my children be who they are? And what are the odds that my ear would be opened and I would hear the voice of God, not just the voice of some preacher, but the word of God got down inside of my soul and it troubled me, brought me down to the place of repentance, and I trusted him with my all. What are the odds of that? I'll tell you, it'd do you good to think who you are. I trace my lineage somewhat, and I'll tell you what I found. My dad is a Baptist preacher in South Mississippi. That's about all I remember, is just growing up, and one day, listen to this now, boy, the grace of God. My dad went to a meeting in Memphis, Tennessee, and he heard of a young man who was just going into evangelism, and he heard that man's wife stand up and say, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. Just obey God. And my dad said, if that man's wife has that testimony about him, I want to book a meeting with him. And my dad booked one of the first meetings with her daddy, Tim Rutherford, 1986. What are the odds? Well, I go back to my grandpa, and he raised gamecocks, and he fought. And he was a gambler. And his daddy killed a man over a mule in Arkansas. And his daddy, I can just go down the line. You know where I came from? I came from a long line of sinners. That's where I came from. I came from but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And God's mindful of me. I don't understand all of that. But you look at your life and just be honest. Why did it turn out this way? Because he's mindful of you. Because he planned all of that from the beginning. And he said, I'm just going to show my grace to them because I want to. You can't earn it. Look, that's the whole point of Galatians, wasn't it? You're saved by grace. And he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Why are you thinking now you were saved by grace, but now you're sanctified by works? Not at all. You are what you are by his grace. And every day you get up and you live, and whatever you have to face, it's going to be by grace. He's mindful of you. He's mindful of men. Boy, ain't that a wonder? Why has he thought on us? Why did he cross our paths? First time that I ever came here, it was 2016, to a meeting. Boy, it was a good meeting. It was a good meeting for me. I don't know how I met all of y'all. I can't even tie it in. Look, there was a lady told me today she appreciated my preaching and all. And I said, well, bless the Lord. And she's telling me about her life history. And come to find out, we've tracked a lot of the same steps. I said, ain't that strange? You got to come to North Carolina to meet me. You see, the Lord ordained all of that. He knows what to do and when. He knows what to put in and what to pull out. He knows. And somehow, He's going to work it all out to His own namesake and glory. Somehow. I don't understand why the Lord's ordered all that He has. I don't understand. But look, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. It could be gone. The life that we know, the ease that we know in America, especially the freedom to come to church and to meet, I tell you, don't take it for granted. The Lord has made man a little lower than the angels. You know what He's speaking of here? Hebrews chapter 2 tells you. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Himself. He said He made Him a little lower than the angels. You know why He did that? Because if He'd have made Him like an angel and our Savior to come as an angel, He wouldn't have had mercy on you. Because they didn't get no second chance. Those that sinned are put out. And they have no mercy. And they have no grace. And so the Lord made Him a little lower than the angels. So that you could put your old sinful hands around Him. And you could get up close to Him. And you could find out that He understands you. And that He loves you. Hey, He is that good Samaritan. He got down in the ditch. He picked you up. He put you on His beast. He said, come with me. He put you in the inn, which is a type of the church. He said to the porter, He said, take care of him. I'll recompense you when I come back. You see, the Lord is that one. And no matter how you look at it, whatever angle, whatever story, that book is all about Him. You know why He did it that way? Because He's mindful of you.
Amen.
So that you may know this day in 2022 that the reason He made the sun come up today is because He is thinking about you. And He's blessed you. Well, He's blessed you beyond measure. And He did all of that so that we may serve Him. That we love Him with our whole heart. They say that's the commandment.
Yes,
look, man came from dust. And as man came from dust and was formed, and God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, when God did all of that, and then man sinned and rebelled, and the reason that He sent His only begotten Son to be made like unto sinful flesh, yet without sin, and the reason He did all of that is so that one day in heaven there'll never ever again be a group, stand up as Lucifer did with his band and say, we deserve to be here and we deserve more than what God's given us. That'll never happen again. You see, because God has been mindful of you. He sent His Son to redeem your soul so that in eternity to come, you'll sit there in the full knowledge of the grace of God and say, I don't deserve to be here. I don't know why He's mindful of me. And I'll serve Him the rest of my days. That's the reason He's done it. It's so that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His goodness toward us. And then it says, by grace are you saved. So that you may understand, this has all been by grace. It ain't been because you made a right choice. Friend, if you were given your choice, you would choose yourself and hell every single time. But by the Word of God, He swayed you. He persuaded you. He led you to a place of repentance. And that was all by grace. It was nothing in me or you that caused God to look our way. It was purely by grace. And because God is mindful of you, He's got grace for you. That's why. Don't be removed from grace. Don't be so far removed that you lose sight of who you are. You are who you are, and that by the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm thankful for the family I was born into. I'm thankful for the family that I married into. I'm thankful for the friends and family that I have. But all that was by grace. I'm not trying to say nothing bad about Salisbury. You can X this out if you want to. But I was sitting in the car praying this evening, and I watched a drug deal take place. And I watched them folks start kicking and fighting and running around cars and all that, and I'm sitting there and wonder. And then the reality was, that could be you. It could be you. But God, by His grace, put me in a good home, in a good family, where I could hear about Jesus Christ. And then He sent men my way who gave their lives to preaching the gospel. And somehow He opened my ear. And I don't understand all that. I'm sure glad for it. I'm so thankful that God put me where He did. There go I, but for the grace of God. Why is God mindful of you? Why? Because He loves you. And if you are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, it will keep you even in the hard times.
Yes, sir.
Wrap your roots around the rock, which is Christ.
Yes.
And it's to be rooted and grounded in this, that He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. Amen. He's mindful of you, whether you realize it or not.
Amen.
I pray for the day, if the Lord tarries at Harlan, that I understand that too.
Mm-hmm.
See, God's mindful of you.
Yeah.
He loves you. The reason He's done all of this is to put you together. So that the church would come together and it'd edify itself in love. And it would all be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. By the grace of God, we'd live life together. Look forward to what the Lord's going to do. I would that we could live in church all the time. And one day it'll be that way. Because in the New Jerusalem, the Lamb of God is the temple of it. And we're going to meet there all the time for eternity. But until then, we're going to get up tomorrow morning if the Lord tarries. And some will go to work and some won't. And we're going to live daily course in life. And then we're going to come back. And you know what church is to be about? It's to be a place where we're mindful of the Lord. Where we come together. It's not about four walls. It's about living your life out there. And when you come back in here, you testify to what God has done, and by His grace, I faced this the other day, and He was there, and He can help you. And that's what church is to be about. It's to be a gathering place where we talk about Him and bless His name and edify each other and say, He was mindful of me the other day. He'll be mindful of you too. God loves you tonight. I want you to know that, and He's mindful of you. And I want you to remember this too. It's all by grace.
Amen.
Don't get so far removed. And if that don't strike a chord with you, you just go back down your family tree. My grandma was sitting in my house about a year ago, and I don't know much about that side of the family, and I was asking her about it, and she said, "Oh yeah, that was your Uncle So-and-so. He was a drunk. And that was your Aunt So-and-so." And then they was just telling me all this dirt on them. And I thought, how did I get here? Why am I here? To serve the Lord.
Yes.
I was made for that purpose.
Right.
He's been favorable to me.
Yes.
He's been good to me. He has been to you too.
Yes,
He's mindful of you. Don't forget that, preacher.
Amen. Bless His name. Amen. Keith had prayer for us. Offered him tonight, Lord, thank you. This day, thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God. Thank you for the songs to sing and testify. Thank you for your mercy and grace that's real. I thank you for specific divine grace that's needed in the day it's needed. I'm thankful, Lord, tonight that you are mindful of us.
God is.
I thought it was the man of God was preaching.
God is.
And he was saying about the odds. I thought, well, what great odds against me. I thank God, the Word of God said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm thankful, Lord, that you're mindful of me. Not of my choosing, but yours. have nothing to do with that, God. Surely of the pure mercy and grace of God and the choosing of the divine will, Lord, that you'd come by my way where I was at, Salisbury, North Carolina. And I wasn't looking for you, God, but you came where I was at. You know where I was at.
Bless him, Lord.
Thank you, God, for the day. It pricked my heart. Thank you for your mercy, God.
Yes.
Thank you for your conviction, repentance, and grace.
Yes.
And all the gift of God of faith, Lord, that we might believe. It's not of my own, but God, you give me your faith that I believe in you.
Bless him.
Lord, you said in the Word of God, and grace for grace, God. Thank you for the grace of God that came by Jesus Christ, the truth, thank God.
Yes.
Lord, our heart, that we might know you this night. I'm glad, thank God, Lord, little old me here in North Carolina. God, out of the billions of people that's in this world, that you're mindful of me. I don't understand it, can't explain it, couldn't direct it, wouldn't have chose it. But God, you're mindful of me. You're mindful of your people here in Salisbury, North Carolina.
Yes.
This little church that the world knoweth not, but thank God you know us tonight.
Yes.
Thank God we're known of you tonight, God. We have a promise, Lord, that we'll know even as we are known. Thank God. I'm thankful for that tonight. Lord, that you know us tonight, God. What mercy, what grace, what divine intervention, God, tonight, God. Just slays the sin, God, on our way to hell. Without God, without hope in this world, but God. I think about the scripture, God, many places says, but God.
Yes.
There's the other side, thank God. There's man's side, and then there's God's side. God, that's much greater, God. You said where sin abounded, grace did much more, man, much more, God, of your mercy and your grace to us tonight, God. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it, God. Wasn't looking for you tonight, but you came where we was at, God, tonight. God, where would we be? I thought as a man of God was preaching, God, what he saw here in the town this day. Surely, God, that could be me tonight or worse, God. I could be in a worse mess. I could be in hell right now if it wasn't for the mercy of God and your grace, God, tonight. Thank you, Lord, for being mindful of me. Thank you, Lord, for being mindful of your people here tonight, God, that you'd have such mercy on us tonight. Oh, God, that you'd love us, God, to become us, God, tonight. Oh, and suffer for sin one time. Die, thank God, for once, one time, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you ever live tonight to make intercession. I'm thankful you hear and answer our prayer. I pray for Miss Denise and her family. God in heaven, would you give grace this needed, God, this sufficient, and mercy.